119, 97 through 120. Psalm 119, verse 97 is where we begin. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, and this is section Mem. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Noon. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Samech. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Some of these verses are very familiar to us. We think of them, hopefully use them often, especially here verse 97, how we begin this section. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. But I hope you noticed also that the love that the psalmist has for the law of God engenders another emotion in him, another affection in him. And what is that? It is indeed hatred for every false way and every vain way. These things are not avoidable, my dear brothers and sisters. We cannot say that we love the law in the right way and say also that we love evil and vanity. We cannot say that and be consistent with what the Scriptures presents to us here, or what the Scriptures present to us here. We must understand that to love the law as we ought means that there are other things that will engender hatred in us. Now, hatred does not mean meanness. It doesn't mean anger. It doesn't mean all of those things. But it does mean that there is within our own hearts a strong aversion to sin. A strong aversion to those false voices that would rise up and distract and draw us off and give us another loyalty other than the Lord our God and His Word. And so, yeah, the psalmist speaks very directly, very antithetically here. He speaks of loving some things, namely the law of God, the statutes of God, the judgment of God, the commandments of God, and then hating other things, vanity, lies, falsehood, and so on. Remember what wise King Solomon said. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I remember a number of years ago, I had the opportunity, the pleasure, really, of hearing a minister that is still popular today preach a sermon called The Love That God Hates. You see, there are things that God hates as well. God hates vanity. God hates sin. In fact, the Psalms tell us that He hates the wicked. I know it's popular to say God loves everyone, but He does not. Not according to the testimony of the Scriptures. He's certainly a good God and He does good to all. But do not confuse His goodness with the love that He has for His people. And do not confuse the love that He expresses of His own heart for His own word, for His own ways, for His own people, to think that that in any way mitigates. It does not mitigate, it rather augments the hatred that He has for those other things. So the Bible does present these antitheses, and it presents them to us as something in which we ought to partake, following the good example here of the psalmist. So, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. I'm not going to go deeply into this because that is the topic of this afternoon's sermon, meditation upon the law of God. Only to say that it is through the commandments of God that we get understanding. Is that not what we want? He says, I'm wiser than all my teachers. Why? Because I meditate on thy statutes. So my dear brothers and sisters, let's also take that as our example. But also then hatred for every false way is the result of meditation upon God's word. The word of God, meditation upon it, causes that word, those commandments, that law, to raise up to such a bright height that everything else to us seems darkness. Now, this is, I think, one of the casualties of having an apologetic that is not Scripture-based. Right? Now, I love my dear friends that are classical apologists. I love them. They're good men. But I think they're wrong. I think it's wrong to enter into the argumentation of the unbeliever in order to disprove him. I think that does not give the Word of God its proper place. Empiricism is a false way when it comes to leading us to the truth. Our eyes and our empirical studies can deceive us, and they can always be changed by greater study. Remember what we talked about earlier about the Word of the Lord always being true, but our empirical judgments will not always be true. And we know that about ourselves. We know the railroad tracks don't touch at the end of our sight. We know that. But that's what our eyes see. But there are times when we say, I can't trust my eyes. There are times when we say, I can't trust my ears. And so, we will never say this about the Word of God. It will always be true. There's never a time when we will say, oh, I can't trust that. No, we can always trust the Word of God. And every false way then must come under the right kind of judgment. The other thing that the psalmist writes here that is that the words of God are sweet to his taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay, so there's a sweetness, an attractiveness, a winsomeness. If we had the opportunity, if you could eat honey with no deleterious effects on your body, would you do that? You know, too much honey, well, it's not good for you. What if honey was the best thing that you could take in? What a wonderful pleasure that would be, right? Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, I don't like honey. Okay, you're the exception. Close your ears for a few minutes while I speak to the rest of us normal people. Right? There's a time when we would think, I'd love to have something, and we think, well, no, I shouldn't. It's not good for me. What if someone told you that honey, that it could not be consumed in excess? That you could live on it? That you don't need to eat anything else? You'd think, wow, that's pretty good. The Word of God, guess what? There's no excess. There's no excess to it. There's no access to thinking on it, meditating upon it, reading it, and studying it. Everything in its proper time, of course, but there's no access to that. You can't ever say, oh, I've had too much of the Word of God. And you can say that about honey. I've had too much honey. Ooh. But you can't say that about the Word of God. So when the psalmist is writing here, he says, it's sweeter than honey to my taste. It drives us to take account of our taste, right? Is it sweet like that to us as well? All right, so that's the first section, Mem. Going to the second section, Nun. Again, a very famous verse to begin. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So here now we're speaking of knowledge, of illumination from the Word of God, and so on. Then we have these commitments that come forth from the mouth of the psalmist here. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. You know, we do that. We do that, number one, when we take our vows of membership. But we also do it in an affirmation of that when week by week the Ten Commandments come out of our own mouths. That's an affirmation that we are the people of God. In Psalm 50, the psalmist there writes, how dare thou take my covenant in thy mouth, speaking to the wicked man, because you hate instruction. You don't intend to keep it. Those words are coming forth from your mouth, but they're coming forth in hypocrisy. Notice what the psalmist here says. I have sworn that I will keep thy righteous judgments. This is the commitment of the people of God, that they will receive, love, honor, obey, strengthen themselves to follow the word and the commandments of God. That's who we are as Christians. And again, like I said last hour, I don't understand how it is that there are those New Testament Christians that say the Old Testament and the law of God has nothing to say to me today. This is throughout the Scriptures. This is indeed the guideline, the guidepost for the people of God. We call it the third use of the law, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Notice also, he says, I have sworn and will perform it. Then he says, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. So that swearing, that oath that has come forth from his lips, in a couple of verses later, he calls that the freewill offering of his mouth. This is an act of worship. These vows that we take, it is us serving, offering up something to the Lord. Our own voice to say, I will keep thy righteous judgments. And then, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. It's almost a continual repetition of the same principles, isn't it, throughout this psalm? Love and honor for the word of God, endeavor to obey, and the moving away from every false way. All right, so 113, Samech, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. So in the affections of the psalmist here, we see the antithesis between vanity and the law of God. Vanity is that which is light. The law is that which is glorious. One is light, one is heavy. One goes up in the balance, one goes down, and so on. So there is a just hatred for the people of God. The word vain here, you notice it's in italics. That's because the word vain is included in the word for thoughts. But it's not just the word for thoughts. It means, it's a word that's often used to translate a branch that is split. So it's double-mindedness. That's what the psalmist is after here. I hate the double-mindedness. And so we hear also, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? From the Apostle James. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now notice, indeed, it is the Lord who is our hiding place and our shield, and I hope in thy word. And so notice how the psalmist always returns in Psalm 119, even though he talks about his commitments, his vows, his obedience, his love for the law of God, still his refuge is in God. He's not a self-righteous man, in other words. He's a humble man, and he's relying upon the mercy of the Lord. All right, so then depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Of course, that is as much of a commitment as it is a command, right? Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so the psalmist here. Perhaps David says, I'm going to surround myself with the right kinds of folk, and I'm going to jettison from myself, from my presence, those that would induce me to violate, to break the commandments of my God. So be careful then how you choose your friends and acquaintances and so on. All right, so then, let's go ahead and skip to verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What is dross? Do you remember what dross is? Some of you have perhaps seen what they do in a foundry. A foundry is a place where they take metal and they melt metal down so that it's a liquid, a place of great heat. You know what metal looks like when it's heated up like that? It becomes a red liquid. But it's never just a red liquid. There's always something floating on the top of it. Some kind of impurity that is not a part of the metal, such that when the metal is melted, the dross kind of rises up to the top, is not part of the metal. That's what dross is. And so notice what the psalmist writes here. Thou hast trodden down them that err from thy statutes. Sorry, I got to put my glasses on. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. And so the wicked of the earth are they're just put away like dross. They're skimmed off of the top. And so this weighty, this glorious thing is left. Not the light dross that comes to the top. And so we have the comparison then of weightiness and lightness in that comparison with dross there. Verse 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. There's a lot that could be said there. In fact, perhaps multiple sermons could be preached on that verse and also Isaiah 66, where the prophet there writes, to this man will I look, even to him who is of a contrite spirit, who trembleth at my word. There's a decided movement away from trembling at the word of God in churches. I don't think it's anything new, not just today this is a phenomenon. It's always been a difficulty that we have. We don't want to think of God as a God that says of himself, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We want God to be nice to everybody, like we talked about earlier today. But the psalmist writes, and this is a sanctified affection here, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. We ought to be afraid of the judgments of God. We ought to be afraid of displeasing our Heavenly Father. We ought to be afraid, not that He would indeed cast us off, but if we are His children, even His chastisements are not pleasant to us. No chastisement for the moment seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward, it yieldeth peaceful fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. So yes, there is good that comes of it, but it's not something that we would indeed desire or follow after or set down tracks to obtain. I am afraid of thy judgments. And so this too is a sanctified affection. All right, thus ends the reading of Psalm 119 in those three sections. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.